throw the seed numbers away. On any given day in the NCAA tournament, anything can happen. We'll get more detailed into LSU versus Yale. Beth Tarina and the LSU softball team, a dramatic walk-off winner. These stories and so much more, including It's Good to Be a Trout, today, Tuesday, March 19th, 2019.
Jokic, no look, down low to Barton, reverse side, layup is up and in. And that will shut the crowd up here at the Garden. Denver back in the lead by 7, 108 to 101.
Raptors respond with a triple from Jeremy Lin. He's had his issues from distance since joining the Raptors. And he knocks that one down to put Toronto up 104-70.
Jokic, no look, down low to Barton, reverse side, layup is up and in. And that will shut the crowd up here at the Garden. Denver back in the lead by 7, 108 to 101.
What's up, Acadiana? How are you? It's a Tuesday. Look, what is that thing up in the sky? What is that orb? Is it what? Rip the sun? The sun is finally out? You've got to be kidding me. It is Tuesday, March 19th, the year 2019. My main man, CD, back in the 237 Roof Studios. He's manning the master control suite. He's spinning all the buttons, pushing, getting all the right music, and taking your phone calls today at 337-706-0111. 706-0111. Busy day, lots to talk about. Yes, there'll be some focus on LSU versus Yale. Earlier in the season, the only common opponent these two teams have had were the Memphis Tigers. LSU played them in the middle of November, and in back-to-back games, Memphis played LSU and then Yale. LSU won nearly by double digits over Memphis. Memphis beat Yale in double overtime at the FedEx Forum. We'll talk with Dave Walushin, who was the play-by-play voice of the Memphis Tigers, and get his thoughts on Yale. And if you look around the country and you talk, a lot of people are high on the Yale Bulldogs. A lot of people are high. This is a veteran ball club. They have got several players who were involved in the NCAA tournament before. Back in 2016, LSU only has one, and that was Cavell Bigby Williams, who played at Oregon. Oregon made that improbable run and busted many a bracket to get to the Final Four. His minutes were marginal. I think he played in five games, played a total of 54 minutes, scored 11 points in five games. So he was a small factor for the Oregon Ducks. He will have to be a huge factor for LSU in this one. So Dave Walushin will join us in this hour. Then we'll shift topics. And last night, the Florida Gators and LSU, two top 10 ranked teams in softball, played on a Monday night made-for-TV matchup. And LSU got the game winner 3-2 on a double in the bottom frame of the last inning of the ball game that scored a runner from first, and it made headlines as Beth Tarina. Well, look. Runner at first, crack of the bat, ball goes up against the wall. Are we going to first to home, or are we stopping at third? Listen to Beth Tarina as she is mic'd up for this dramatic play. Well, the no, she ran right through the stop sign, beat the throw to the plate. LSU wins over Florida, and Beth Tarina will join us later on in the program to describe what it's like in that bang-bang moment of, come on, go, no. Oh, my goodness, yes, job well done. So Florida falls to LSU. First time LSU's beaten Florida in a home series in softball since 2007. And we'll talk to Beth Tarina about that. Then I saw this and I thought, this might be kind of fun. You look around to see who can you talk to about Yale. And so you look, you get on the internet, you look things up, and I saw that there is a Yale Daily News, which is the student newspaper. So I thought, well, let's see. So I find the kid's name, guy's name that's written all the articles, figure out a way to get a hold of him, and William McCormick will come on the show with us. He is a freshman at Yale, and he is going to be leaving very shortly on a plane trip to head to Jacksonville to cover the Bulldogs for the Yale Daily News. So I've got to ask him some questions like, what was your GPA? What was your SAT or your ACT score? I mean, how brilliant are you? So I'm looking forward to talking with William McCormick. Our daily history lesson, it fits in perfectly with the NCAA tournament. It was a moment in time that changed college basketball forever. So we'll share that with you as well. Let me say hello to my producer extraordinaire, Clinton Domain. CD, how are you?
I'm doing good, Jordy. I'm doing good. It's a pretty decent Tuesday afternoon. Like you said, that sun out there, it's strange.
What
to
is
see.
That? I'm telling you, I think it's March 19th. I can't count on one hand in my recollection how many days of sunshine we've had. It's just been a doom and gloom kind of a cloud, but no doom and gloom for one Mike Trout. Can you believe Bryce Harper's pitching for Mike Trout to end his career with the Angels and come to Philly, and out of the blue, I mean, I don't think anybody was expecting this, $430 million deal. Are you kidding me? $430 million. A 12-year deal, $430 million. That's nearly $36 million a year. The best player in baseball gets paid the most ever in the history of baseball. Can you believe that? Can you believe that?
It's hard to believe, Jordy, but it makes me think. You're getting paid $430 million for over 12 years. You'd be losing a lot of games in the Astros in that span.
Oh, by the way, our boy just signed a lucrative deal, Alex Bregman. He's now wearing the three stripes of Adidas, and they've come out with a promo for him. So Bregman may not have gotten the contract that he wanted from the Astros, and I'm sure he's a little crestfallen about that, but he's going to be wearing Adidas. I love Adidas. I really do. Anyway, he's. I don't know what the terms of the contract are, but I'm sure it's quite nice. But $430 million. Bryce Harper was the big deal March 2nd, $330 million. Now Mike Trout gets a 30% larger deal. Wow. And that even beats Canelo Alvarez's deal with Dazen, or DAZN, by more than $65 million. So, I mean, he's 27 years old, Trout is. He was due to be a free agent following the 2020 season, in which there was going to be a bidding war for the guy. And good for the Angels to say, you know what? We're going to get this done quietly, get it done efficiently, and we're just going to get it done. So they ripped up the final two seasons of his six-year $144.5 million deal and replaced it with the new 12-year deal through the 2030 season. Now, consistent, yeah. I mean, he's put together arguably the greatest start to a career in baseball history. 1,065 games, 307 batting average, 240 home runs, 648 RBIs, 793 runs scored, 189 stolen bases. No player in history has put up more wins above replacement through his age 26 season than Trout's 64.3. But CD, I ask you this question. Is Mike Trout going to be the greatest and most highly paid player to never win a World Series?
I think we'd have to agree with that statement, Jordy, because you want to pay a whole lot of money to Albert Pujols on the tail end of his career,
yes.
And now you've got Mike Trout locked down for a long time, and you pay him all this money. You can only imagine how much it could affect your team be able to kind of develop that farm system like we've seen the Astros do with a lot of great success, the Cubbies, even to a certain extent the Phillies. The Phillies are starting to become a little bit more relevant before they even had Bryce Harper on the roster, and same with the Braves.
Yeah. I'm with you. Look, they made the playoffs just once in Mike Trout's 8 major league seasons, and they were swept in the first round when they did. So he's never won one, and they've had some bad contracts. You mentioned Pujols. They had a $125 million deal with Josh Hamilton. Those are both albatrosses, man. But Artie Moreno, he's not afraid to spend money. He parlayed a $3 billion local TV deal into higher payrolls. And that's going to give Trout enough security to lock down a deal through his 30, when he turns 38. How about that? Now, how good is he going to be later on in his career? Who knows? But he'll play with the Angels. How would you like to get up today and know I've got, no matter what, I got $430 million in the bank, guaranteed to me? Man, that's got to take some pressure off of you. Holy cow. Unbelievable. Good for Mike Trout. He's won 2 American League MVP awards, and he's finished second 4 times. He's going to get nearly $36 million a year to play the game of baseball. How about that? All right. Time out on the floor. You can call us, 337-706-0111. Email me, askjordy@gmail.com. Follow on Twitter @JHS1037. And come on back. We're just getting rolling. Beautiful day, Tuesday. And we've got hoops tonight. Stay with us.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
And we're back. 337-706-0111. 337-706-0111. A lot coming on this LSU-Yale matchup. Hooters undergoing some renovations. Going to be a brand new look. It's going to be fantastic. You're going to love it. It's closed right now. They're working as quickly and as expeditiously as they can. And they will be open, hopefully, by Saturday. And hopefully LSU basketball will be back playing Saturday, which means they would have won their opener against Yale, who had lost twice to Harvard in the regular season. Harvard won the regular season title, and then Yale got the rematch. The third time was the charm for them. They got it done. It reminded me of back in 1986 when LSU couldn't beat Kentucky in the regular season, lost to them twice in the regular season, lost to them in the SEC tournament, but got them in the NCAA tournament, and they beat them in the regional to get to the Final Four. So Yale, an experienced ball club, no question about that. We have not heard hide nor hair nor seen anything of Will Wade. So if somebody thought he was going to make a 180 reversal of going to talk to LSU and the administration, that just doesn't look like it's going to happen. LSU has taken off, and they're flying to Jacksonville. And getting ready for that 11:40 tip on Thursday. So that means the pregame show at, rather than start at 11:10, let's just start at 11. All right, 11 o'clock, straight up, boom, tip, 11:40, and then stick around. We'll have the postgame show, and then we'll hit the airwaves, and we'll recap it all right here. And it's going to be a tough day for me because we're going to be doing this radio show while I'm watching the tournament games taking place. So we may do some play-by-play. And, Clint, you may have to be my color analyst, okay? So we'll have to in-sync that thing. And we're going to let everybody see your astuteness when it comes to college hoops. Anyway, speaking of that, Tony Benford, cut number three, just out of curiosity, someone asked, man, have you talked to Will Wade lately?
Yeah, I think Coach was at home with his family. I talked to him briefly after the show ended. And Coach, he's very familiar, obviously been at Harvard in the Ivy League, and he's very familiar with Coach Jones and the way they play and their style of play. So he just said that they're well coached, and they play, you know, play pretty fast, and it'll be a good matchup for us.
Absolutely. So I forgot that Will was at Harvard for a brief moment. Needless to say, there's nothing – you go to college to play basketball – this is what everyone strives for, and sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't. LSU, according to their coach, interim coach, obviously very excited to be in the dance.
Our guys, we just had a little private get-together, and our guys, once their name flashed up, they were extremely excited. The hard work that they put in from day one, going back to the summer when everybody arrived in June, to all the adversity that they've gone through, and they now seeing the opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament, which we only have, I think, one player on our team that's played in the tournament, Escavel Bigsby Williams, when he was at Oregon. So those guys are excited about the opportunity, and we're looking forward to playing Yale on Thursday.
Absolutely. Again, Yale, Coach Jones, very, very successful coach. He's the longest tenured coach in the Ivy League. And they got it done when it counted most on their home court against their arch rival in Harvard. Yale has taken on LSU. Has taken on Memphis, as did LSU. But here's Tony Benford on Yale's success.
Well, one of the things, obviously, won the Ivy League, and they've had a lot of success. 2 years ago, I think they beat Baylor in the NCAA tournament. And Coach Jones does a good job. They recruited well there. He's they got one kid that's I think his last name's Oney. He's an NBA prospect, about 6'6", scoring wing, a really good player. And they have, I think, four guys that average double figures. Another kid that averages almost 9 a game. So, and they play up tempo. They really push the ball. They want to get up and up and push the ball, get out in open court. And they do a really good job. So, haven't had a chance to watch. I watched a little of their game briefly today when they played Harvard. But we're going to break them down. Coach Hire right now is already watching film on them. So we're on top of them right now.
Absolutely. Defense, rebounding, sharing the basketball. That's what Yale is all about. That's what they're all about. But you play all these games, and you play against a variety of teams that have a variety of styles. Some teams want to, Arkansas wants to get up and down the floor. Florida wants to slow the tempo, limit the shots that you get. Really play good defense. You play against man. You play against zone. You play against full court presses. You play against a variety of different styles. So Tony Benford said the season's prepared them for here and now.
The one thing I think that helps us is you look at our schedule. Our non-conference schedule prepared us for our conference schedule. I think playing Florida State on the road in the Orlando tournament, that neutral side game, playing there, playing Oklahoma State, playing those teams there, that helped us kind of prepare us for what we're going to be facing. Then obviously playing us at Houston, that same area. So we play different styles in non-conference. And obviously our conference, everybody has, there's different, we play teams with different styles in our conference. So that really helps you, I think, playing the SEC, prepare for any type of style of play that you're going to come up against.
Tony, just remember, you're an interim coach. Don't be yakking to the officials because they're not going to listen. They're going to tee you up. And that technical, really pivotal in the loss in the SEC tournament against Florida. I don't think there's any way to get around it. It absolutely was a pivotal moment. Coach Benford talked about the Florida game.
We wanted to really attack the paint. You know, we talked about our game standards, so that's getting 50 paint touches, and we were above that. We scored, scoring 20 points in the paint. Nas was dominant. We wanted to play through Nas, so we had the same game plan. I thought we did a great job defensively in the first half. I thought in the second half we were not as sharp as we needed to be defensively, had some careless turnovers when they made their run. And I thought we just, down the stretch, You know, they made some plays. They really did a good job executing. I thought we executed well down the stretch, you know. Unfortunately, it was a call that was made that I got a tee. I got to keep my poise in that time there and that when we got the technical. But moving forward, we still had a chance to win the game. You know, we made a play. We went to our diamond press, made a play, and they hit a big shot at the end. You know, and those games against Florida have always been, you know, they've gone, as you guys know, the two overtime games. So we got some things. We got some guys that can play better, like Emmett Williams, Trayvon, Sky. We got a lot of guys that can play better than they played the other night, and they understand that. And they're excited to have a chance to, you know, we're 0-0 now. So it's win or go home. It's no more tomorrow. So our guys know, hey, we got to leave it all out there. And that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, you're not guaranteed any more games after this one. You just aren't. I mean, doesn't matter what they are on paper. Paper says they're not supposed to win a 3 versus a 14, but guess what? Games aren't paid on paper, right? They're played on the hardwood. You got to put the ball in the basket. So Yale's certainly capable of pulling off an upset. But LSU's a better team. They got more size. There's no question about that. So we'll see. We'll see. LSU's first tournament appearance since 2015. Dave Walution is the radio play-by-play voice of the Memphis Tigers. He will join us next, share his recollections of what he saw from LSU, albeit early in the season, and what he saw from Yale, albeit early in the season. But he'll share his thoughts on the ballgame from his courtside seat. That's coming up next, right here on the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the app.
And we welcome you back. This is the Jordy Hultberg Show as we continue previewing the NCAA tournament opener between the Yale Bulldogs and the LSU Tigers. 11:40 tip on Thursday in Jacksonville. And thinking of the two teams, I thought, okay, let's look at common opponents. And sure enough, Memphis. And Memphis played LSU on November the 13th in Baton Rouge, and then Memphis hosted Yale in their next game on the 17th in Memphis. Dave Walution is he is Mr. Memphis Radio. He is everything with the Memphis Tigers, and he joins us now as Penny Hardaway's ball club is getting ready to open up action in the NIT today, but he's going to spend some time with us. Dave, thanks for the time, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. You do realize that was the second and third game of the year that Memphis played.
We played
you guys our second game in Yale, third. So it is a long time ago, and these teams may have changed.
Mm-hmm.
But they, you know, people are going to go, well, you're talking about the Ivy, and you're talking about one of the best teams in the country and in the SEC, in LSU. I got to tell you, Yale is not to be taken lightly. Yale actually has three guys that were McDonald All-American nominees. And they have played together. You know, when we saw you guys, you were talking about three freshmen, a sophomore, and a junior that were starting. Uh-huh. These guys started three seniors and two juniors.
Right.
Their coach, James Jones, is in the middle of his 20th year. Will Wade was in his second, and now you don't have a coach. Well, you have Tony Benford. But that's different territory. So this game is going to be closer than a lot of people might think.
I'm with you. Memphis got the win in double overtime, 109-102. You talked about some All-Americans. Oney is their guy. Mike Krzyzewski says he thinks he's a first-round draft pick. You got to see him up close and personal. What did you think of his game?
His game was really good against us. He ended up he had 15 or 16 points. But he could take over a game. You could tell he was so skilled, and you know he's the junior on the team. He was all Ivy unanimous last year, and he can do a lot of different things. He can step out and hit the three. He can He can shoot or drive to the hole. He's a good free throw shooter. He's a smart kid, as you would expect.
Yeah, yeah.
And he is tough. And then you know, their point guard Trey Fills. He's a kid that's a senior that his dad played in the NBA. His dad unfortunately got killed in a car accident back in 2000. But he has great bloodlines. And then they got a kid named Jordan Bruner, who is from Columbia, South Carolina. He picked Yale over Clemson. You know, he's a kid that is really tough. Memphis got lucky in this game. I'm going to be honest with you, Jordy. Let's see. I'm looking at this. At least three guys, maybe more, fouled out. And then everybody else on their team had four fouls. They fouled out every big man. That allowed another kid to come in who really wasn't supposed to play that much. And he ended up playing. He had 8 points all in the second half because of foul trouble. Another big, the 6'10 kid named Paul Atkinson. So Memphis really got fortunate to win this game. Now, we ended up getting paid back later in the year because there's a couple of games that we gave away and didn't get calls. But that, Yale, we were really fortunate to beat.
Dave Aleutian, kind enough to join us and talking about this thing. LSU has certainly changed a bit. You know basketball. The Will Wade factor, the lack of Will Wade. How big of a deal is that to you?
Well, coaching matters, and I think you could sort of see that in every tournament that you play when you have to make adjustments on the fly. I think it's important. I'll be honest with you, I thought when we played, I've always been sort of a Will Wade fan, going back to Chattanooga and everything else. But I did not think he did a great job in our game. I thought LSU should have absolutely wiped Memphis at that point off the map. And he allowed a lot of undisciplined stuff to occur. Mm-hmm. And so I was sitting there in the first third of the season, because I watched LSU a bunch, thinking, man, he's just really doesn't have a hold of this team. And then I started to get more respect as the year went on, because I do think he really started to get them to play well together. And you know, I should have realized early in the year, you're dealing with all these freshmen. You got a sophomore that's now got a different role, that was a great player and the go-to guy a year ago, and now all of a sudden he's got to learn how to get other guys involved. I'm talking about Waters. And so I think it took a while, but I at the end I was going, you know what, maybe I was wrong about him. He's doing a pretty good job. And then of course you got knocked out. And I really, the only thing I know that there's irony is that Tony Benford took over for my friends, Johnny Jones and Charlie Leonard and that crew, when they went from North Texas to Baton Rouge. And then now here he is taking LSU over basically a year and three quarters after they left. So, you know, the world is full of weird and crazy turns, and I don't know what will happen with all of this, but I would think, Even if Will Wade had been doing an average job, and I think toward the end he was doing a good job, you lose the guy that's the voice in your ear. And I don't care who steps up at this late a stage, it's not the same. And so I do think that puts you a little bit behind the eight ball.
Dave Aleutian, kind enough to join us. Yale's not your typical, stereotypical Ivy League school, are they? They get up and down the floor. This isn't your Pete Carril Princeton Tiger team.
No, they're not. And you know what? I got to give James Jones, we're talking about coaches. You know, James Jones just continues to get his guys in position to win Ivy League championships. You know, they were picked third in the Ivy this year, and it came down to a Harvard-Yale championship game in the Ivy to determine that it would be Yale. This is a much more athletic team than you would think for an Ivy League team. But when you got three McDonald's All-American nominees, you know you're not dealing with Pete Carril's old style, that's for sure.
Right. So, Dave, you've seen both clubs play. If they both play their best, who do you – I mean, LSU's a three seed for a reason, right?
LSU is – when you're talking about guys like Waters and, you know, Naz Reid to me, when I first saw him play – I'm going, this guy's an NBA guy. I mean, he moved. He can step out and shoot.
Yeah.
I know he's had some terrible games down the stretch here, but his potential is unbelievable. If he plays good, there's not anybody on the Yale team, not Oney, not Bruner, not any of these guys that can match up with him. There's nobody that can take Waters. Skylar Mays, if he gets hot, you know, is Javonte Smart playing? I'm guessing he is.
Yes,
nobody
he is.
Can match up with these guys. These guys are too athletic. You think anybody can match up with Williams or, you know, Emmett or B. Williams?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think if you guys play really good and really smart, not that you'll kill them, but you just have too much athleticism for them.
Yale, are they a good three-point shooting team in your book? I mean, they took 29 against you guys, albeit in double overtime, so it doesn't look like they're bashful.
No. When they came in, they were shooting 43%. Now, they'd only played a couple of games. They took this long China tour. These guys do have a lot of experience together, but they also have been together. That was the weirdest thing. When we saw them, they had traveled to China for whatever reason. I don't know why. They went to Shanghai. They played Cal in their first game, and they played a bunch of other teams down there. They traveled 14,674 miles, basically, for their first game. So they've been together a lot, and they're smart, obviously. With some athleticism, we'll battle you. But if you guys play to the potential that you have with your athleticism and you shoot and make shots, I think you'll beat them. I don't think you're going to, like I say, this is not going to be like a 15-point kill. This should be an interesting game, but in the end, I believe your athleticism should win out.
Dave, thank you for the time, man. I know you got a busy day ahead of you with your show and then the ball game tonight, so we appreciate a few minutes. Keep up the great work, and thank you for your insight, my friend. Always a pleasure talking with you.
Jordy, always fun chatting with you. Take good care of my friend Ron Higgins down there, okay?
Yeah, you got it, my friend. You got it. Thank you, David. So there it is. And we'll find out more from Yale throughout the course of the week, but it's not your typical ball club. Yes, they do have athleticism, but again, I think the size factor of LSU comes into play, and if Clavell Bigby-Williams and Naz Reid and Emmett Williams and Darius Days can stay out of early foul trouble, you don't want to put Yale on the free throw line. They're a deadly free throw shooting team. They just are, and you got to have your bodies on the court. You can't have them sitting down on the bench because of early fouls. So very important early on that you get a feel for the game. You don't make silly reaching fouls. You get to that first TV timeout. Then you can exhale a little bit, breathe a little bit, and then get going. So interesting. Yes, everyone's very, very high on Yale. It is not your typical Ivy League school. As Dave said, three McDonald All-American types on the ball club, and they've got some guys that can take you off the dribble and get to the basket and score and create on their own. So everybody talks about Oney, and no question, he's a great player. But, man, the stick that stirs the drink is Alex Copeland, the point guard. And he had 25 in the last outing in the win over Harvard, which was win and you're in, lose and you go to the NIT. So more on Yale to come. All right, we'll take a timeout here. We'll come back with more. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Helfrich Show on 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. 48 minutes after the hour, NCAA tournament gets underway today. 68 teams in it, and the if you hate the first four, well, okay, understood. But the run continues because every season since the field went from 65 to 68 teams, a ball club that emerges from the first four has won at least one game afterward. Last season, the winner was Syracuse. So will it be Belmont, Arizona State, St. John's, or Temple into minimally the second round this year. We shall see. There's a computer simulation called Sportsline that has nailed some massive upsets, including huge wins by number 13-seeded Buffalo over 4-seeded Arizona last year. Their projections predicted number 11-seeded Loyola Chicago over 6-seeded Miami and number 10-seeded Butler to beat 7-seeded Arkansas. This model simulates every game 10,000 times, and it's nailed 12 of the 18 first-round upsets by double-digit seeds the past 3 years. So if you get those picks right, you could literally make or break your March Madness bracket. This advanced computer model has simulated the entire NCAA tournament 10,000 times to come up with the perfect 2019 NCAA tournament bracket and to find out which teams will pull off the biggest upsets. What they found was number 8-seeded VCU falling to number 9-seed UCF in the first round. That's not that big of an upset. It's really not. But here's the big one. This computer simulation has LSU losing to Yale in the first round. Here's what it says. The Tigers are dealing with significant distractions surrounding their program with LSU head coach Will Wade suspended. Along with a matchup against a hungry Florida program, Wade's absence led to the SEC regular season champions being bounced in their first game of the conference tournament. Yale won't be a cakewalk for LSU. The Bulldogs just put a staggering 97 points on arch rival Harvard in the Ivy League tournament title game. It was revenge for two regular season losses that led to Harvard stealing the league from Yale, even though the Bulldogs had the better team throughout the season. Yale has wins over Cal and Miami under its belt and won't be intimidated by LSU. Look for Maye Onyi and Alex Copeland to attack LSU relentlessly as big guards who can handle the basketball, shoot effectively, and finish around the rim. Florida's Andrew Nembhard is a similar guard and had 20 points, 6 assists, and 4 rebounds against LSU in the SEC tournament, and that's a big reason why the model is picking the Bulldogs to pull off one of the top 2019 March Madness upsets. I'm sending that to Tony Benford. I don't put a lot of stock in computer simulations. I just don't. But there's a lot of you out there that do. So buyer beware. Buyer beware. Here's some information for you. Just a little bit to fill out your bracket. The highest scoring team in the tournament is Gonzaga. The lowest scoring team is Kansas State. The fastest team, North Carolina. The slowest team, Virginia. Best free throw shooting team, Ole Miss. Worst, St. Louis. Best three-point shooting team, Wofford, 41.6%. The worst three-point shooting team, Duke, at 30.2%. The most experienced team in the tournament is Nevada. The least experienced is Kentucky. The tallest team is Syracuse. The smallest, Prairie View and Gardner-Webb. Just a couple little things here and there for you and yours to salivate on. The best two-point shooter in the tournament is Duke's Zion Williamson, shooting 76%. The best three-point shooter is Wofford's Storm Murphy at 50.6%. And the best free throw shooter is Kentucky's Tyler Hero, 94%. So Duke is the odds-on favorite to win the national championship. But only three times has the number one overall seed won the NCAA tournament since the selection committee began ranking the number ones in 2004. Florida in 2007, Kentucky in 2012, Louisville in 2013. So just wait. There is another stat that says no team has lost its first conference tournament game and then won a national title. So, those teams in this year's tournament are Texas Tech, Purdue, Maryland, and LSU. In the past 21 years, 12 national champions won their conference tournament. So, I'm just saying, the longest winning streak is Wofford at 20. The best neutral court record belongs to Villanova. They were 7-0 in neutral court games this year. The biggest line of the tournament is 25. That's North Carolina, favored by 25 against Iona. So, there you go. A couple other things here and there. Can a number 16 do it again? Not including UMBC's win last year. In 7 instances, a number 16 seed has finished a game within 2 3-pointers of a number 1 seed. It can happen. It can happen. So, time will tell. Time will tell. So, that one computer module has Yale upsetting LSU. We'll see. We'll see. Much more on that. We've got hot topics coming up in hour number 2. And then Beth Tarina will join us and talk about her. The wild finish for a softball team that was ranked 8th in the country, taking on the 7th-ranked Florida Gators. And they won that game on a walk-off double with quite a mad dash for home plate from first base, running through the stop sign of the head coach of softball, Beth Tarina. No. And she kept running and she kept running and kept running. And then we'll talk with Will McCormick of the Yale Daily News, the student newspaper. He's a freshman at Yale. And I'm looking forward to talking to him about his thoughts as a student about Yale and what he thinks of LSU as a basketball program. We're brought to you in part by Hooters. Hooters going through renovations, right? It's going to be better than ever. So be patient. When they open up the doors, you're going to see a whole new look, a whole new feel, but the food's going to be great. The thousands of televisions will still be there, and you can watch March Madness like crazy at Hooters, because Hooters just makes you happy. 1 hour down, 1 to go. This is the Jordy Helpert Show. Acadiana's number 1 sports station is 103.7 The Game. And you can listen to us like that on the radio, 103.7thegame.com, any way you want. Come on back. Hour number 2 is going to be great. We'll see you then.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana's sports station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
Hour number 2 of 2, and away we go. Hope you're having a great Tuesday on this 19th day of March when the NCAA tournament gets underway with the last 4 in playing in Dayton, Ohio. So let the madness begin. We are presented each and every day by DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Bro Bridge. Frank has got everything for your travel needs. Yes, indeed. And so much more. DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Bro Bridge. All right, without further ado, we do it every day to start off hour number 2. We take our daily walk around the sports water cooler to see what's hot. CD, button please.
Here's today's hot topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
I see where Tate Martell, who has been deemed immediately eligible by the NCAA, he transferred from Ohio State in January, he has 3 years of eligibility remaining at the U. So here we go. Eligible quarterbacks transferring left and right. CD, how are you, my friend?
I am doing good, Jordy. Mind you, not $430 million good like Mike Trout is in the Los Angeles Angels. That's how we started off the show, Jordy. And it's just crazy to think that we're talking about this situation. Mike Trout getting paid the big bucks to stay with a team that's been incredibly mediocre over the last decade plus.
Nearly $36 million a year. He'll have that till the year 2030. It's a 12-year package. Boy, he's a great player. There's no question about that. But you need great teammates to make a great team. So we'll see what happens with the Angels. But he is, I mean, he may go down. You know that old thing about the greatest player to never, ever do something, to never win a major, to never win a championship? This may follow Mike Trout, because Boston's still good. Yankees are always going to be good. And the Astros are young. They're going to be good for a while. We'll see what the Angels can do. They're in a tough, tough situation, in a tough division, in a tough conference, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's a tough league in the AL because you got a lot of teams all around it, from the Yankees, like you said, the Red Sox, the Astros, even some teams like the Mariners. The Mariners are starting to make themselves a little bit more relevant. It's easier said than done, Jordy. But you got to think a lot of the other leagues players are looking intently at the situation right now involving Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, even Nolan Arenado to a certain extent. They got to be thinking about looking at that and looking at their chops for the upcoming CBAs they're going to have. I know the NFL players
You keep playing well and you get rewarded. That lifts, that's the Tiger factor. Everybody gets paid more because Tiger sets the tone in golf. And now you've got Mike Trout doing this. So I don't know who the next big up and coming free agent's going to be. But you put up the numbers, you'll get the numbers, right?
Oh, yeah, you have to agree. I mean, we look at Mike Trout, all these guys getting paid. Meanwhile, Dallas Keuchel, I'm still surprised, Jordy, we're only, I believe, 8 days away from opening day of the 2019 season. Dallas Keuchel still doesn't have a team. What is going on there, Jordy?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't figure it out either. It just doesn't make sense. He's good. Maybe they're doing the Mark Ingram thing where they're overvaluing themselves and pricing themselves out of the market. Something will prevail eventually. I don't think there's any question about that. The Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw is injured.
Yep.
Does he end up being a Dodger? You never know.
It's just weird, Jordy, to think about the fact Dallas Keuchel, a guy who wound up winning a Cy Young no more than 2 years ago, is kind of on the outside looking in. But, it is what it is. Hopefully the Astros can strike a deal with him just before opening day, because I wouldn't mind having an extra hand like that, or an extra arm, I should say, in that rotation. It would do you no ill. Let's just put it that way.
No, it would behoove you if there's any way and you can make the numbers work, absolutely.
And I think they could, Jordy. Now we're going to move over to the NBA because, man, former Louisiana Raging Cajun Elfrid Payton getting it done over the last few ball games.
Yeah.
Five straight triple-doubles, Jordy. You got to think that's a real bright spot for a team that's definitely had a season a lot of fans want to forget about, especially after Anthony Davis said that he wanted out of the team.
Well, they're playing for jobs for next year, and he's certainly making a case for himself. The team is now officially eliminated from the playoffs. But why are they winning? I mean, why did they beat Dallas? Why? It makes no sense. Here's where they are right now. Out of the 15 teams in the Western Conference, the Pelicans are 12th. They're 31-42. Memphis is 28-42. Dallas is 28-42. Nobody's catching the Phoenix Suns, 17-55. But man, lose to Dallas. Why are you beating them? I don't understand it. Golly, I know they're playing hard. They want to do this, that, and the other. But come on, man. Tank. 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 I don't understand it. But good for Elfrid Payton. He's playing very well.
Yeah, it's very weird, Jordy. Kind of we're talking about the Pelicans that just can't get out of their own way, honestly. But then again, it is the Mavericks. So that those games could go either way because those teams not exactly the best. Mind you, they've got a lot of future with the Dallas Mavericks. Luka Doncic is just an absolute monster on the court.
But here's the thing. They lose to Phoenix.
Yeah.
Okay, they lose to Phoenix. Lose to that. Lose to everybody. It does you no good to win a game. Lose every game the rest of the way, and let's hope that Memphis wins a couple, Dallas wins a couple, and at least you're 14th out of 15 teams in the West. And in the East, you know, nobody's going to catch the Knicks, the Cavaliers, the Bulls. So you're trying to get the best percentage to get the best draft pick that you can. Doesn't do any good to win a game. At all.
It does not, Jordy. Then again, it doesn't do any good to pay a dollar for 10 minutes of an NBA game because that's what NBA League Pass is doing going forward, Jordy. Why are we doing this? Like just make it a little bit cheaper to watch a full game, okay? Rather than, 10 minutes of an NBA game for a dollar? What is this, some other collect call?
It's ridiculous. I don't know who came up with that. Unless people are looking on their phones to see games that are they're close down the stretch. Oh, okay. I'll pay a dollar to watch Golden State and this team. It's a 1-point game with 10 minutes to go in the fourth period. So I don't know. I mean, whatever works. I don't get it.
I don't get it either, Jordy. It's ridiculous that we're talking about the fact that the NBA League Pass is doing that. I'm like, it's weird. But what's also weird, Jordy, is what the UFC's doing with their deal with the four-letter network. They announced that they are foregoing the pay-per-view market and are going solely with the ESPN Plus model to have all their pay-per-views going forward, Jordy. That is a bold strategy, and I definitely think it could pay off because you can about imagine it's still going to be the same price, but it's definitely a bold strategy to move strictly towards streaming.
Look, this was an outfit that was run in a back alley.
Yep.
And Dana White has taken that thing to a stratosphere. He sold it for I don't know how many billions of dollars he was retained to run it. Now he just got a 7-year contract extension. I want to know what Dana White's making. That's all I know. And look, nobody's going to doubt ESPN and what they do and how they do it. They're not in it to lose money. So let's wait and see what happens. But they're trying to get the subscriptions up to ESPN Plus. But Dana White's my hero. I mean, this guy, everything he touches turns to gold. It's unbelievable.
It's amazing to see what Dana White has done over the last 10 to 15 years, kind of growing the UFC brand. And now we've got the four-letter network wanting to be all in on it. And it's just some fantastic stuff, Jordy. Last one, looking ahead towards the NFL draft. It looks like one player is going to be getting a lot of passing over, if you will. And that's Montez Sweat, who is definitely considered to be a first-round pick, Jordy. He's going to be passed over a lot of teams because of a medical test that wound up showing a heart condition, probably similar to what we saw a couple years ago with Nick Fairley. I believe Larribas had something similar to that. So it's just a tough break for him. Going to wind up possibly not even getting picked in the 2019 NFL draft due to his condition. Yeah. And not even, like, apparently, they're not even going to wait for him to go get a recheck in Indy.
Unfortunately for him, but I don't fault NFL teams for not drafting him at all. But I am very leery of, let's get another opinion. Yeah. Let's look at it a little deeper. And I think that will happen. I really do. And then the sooner the better. And I hope for the young man's sake that it comes up in the positive light for him, because my gosh, all the hard work didn't look like any problems when he was rushing the quarterback when State was playing LSU. I mean, that guy can play. I really, really hate to see that. But I wish him nothing but the best. All right, there you go. There's your hot topics of the day, brought to you by Cajun Chef, right there in St. Martinville for nearly 90 years now. The Biart family, from one generation to another, still cranking out the best products you could ever imagine, because they don't cut corners. They only use the best of the best. They get the best peppers. They use the best spices. They have the best formula, and they come up with the best hot sauce on the market. Cajun Chef Hot Sauce. You can find it at your local grocery store, your favorite restaurants, but some people, some places, just you never know. I don't like to take the chance, so I bring a small bottle of Cajun Chef Hot Sauce with me everywhere I go. It's small. You can carry it easily and inconspicuously. And then when the food comes, zip, 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 everything tastes better. I mean, everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. Up next, don't listen to the coach sometimes. You got to be bold. And Beth Tarina explains that as LSU softball beats Florida next.
Topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Hey, we welcome you back. I tell you what, one of the better programs on the campus of LSU, ever since they hired this coach, they have just gotten better and better and better. One of the best in the business, Beth Tarina, whose LSU softball team got the best of Florida in dramatic fashion on Monday for their first win over the Gators in a series at home since 2007. Head coach Beth Tarina, kind enough to join us. Congrats, coach. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. It was a great day. I mean, everything about it, it was a great team win. I think it's a win that will help propel us down the stretch here, you know. It was awesome.
Do I need to give you some shout it out for the grass stains on your coach's outfit? Because apparently your runner that took off from first on a double in the final frame just put her head down and ran right through the stop sign. How about that?
I loved it. It was awesome. I really don't know why I was on the ground. I've never laid on the ground before.
Take me through it. I mean, it was a tight game, obviously. It's 2-2. You got a runner at first base. Amanda Sanchez is up, and Ilea Andrews is at first. So you hear the crack of the bat. Take me through it.
You know, initially I thought when the ball was hit that she might have a chance to score just with Ilea's speed. But, you know, they were playing so deep and like a no-doubles defense back there, and they got to the ball pretty quick, and it was in the hands of the shortstop pretty quick. So I knew we had Shelby Sinceri on deck too, so I thought, you know, and Shamaya behind her, and we're right there in the middle of our lineup. So I didn't want to run us out of a really big scoring opportunity right there. But you know what? If Ilea Andrews has a gut feeling, I am happy to win or lose on her gut feeling. She's a great player. She's earned the right to, you know, make some choices out there herself, and I'll stand behind the choices that she makes because I trust her completely.
That's awesome. You were the eighth-ranked team in the country going into the series. Florida was the number seven-ranked team. You're 4-2 in league play. They're 2-4. Boy, that was a significant series, and I know that the fan support was outstanding.
Yeah, the Tiger fans were great, and, you know, I think our team did a good job of making sure they stayed in it, having some quality at bats throughout the game. So we made it interesting for everybody, made sure everybody stayed in it, and it was a really fun series. I mean, just every game had a lot of excitement to it, so it was really fun. Love competing that way. I love competing against the best of the best, and I just like how our team showed up and what they accomplished.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've got 30 games under your belt, and there are great expectations for this program year in and year out, and that's a credit to you, your staff, and your players. How do you feel about your club here and now, and are there areas that you need to improve upon?
Well, there's always areas that need improvement. You know, we've got to decrease some walks on the mound. We've got to, you know, make sure our defense is good, which it was all weekend here. It was really, really good. I mean, the double play in the seventh inning was just probably the turning point of that one, you know. So, of course, there's always things that we're looking to do to get better. And, definitely don't want to get in front of ourselves here. Just have to keep playing good softball. Still a ton of time left. But I love the spot this team's in. I love this team. They're doing a really good job in a lot of areas.
Pitching is always so critical, and you've got the SEC pitcher of the week for her performances for you this week.
We do. Mary Beth Gorsuch, and I'm so proud of her and the week she had and the work she put in. I thought our entire pitching staff put in a really solid week of work preparing them for this weekend, so I'm really glad they got the outcomes that they did. And she's their leader. You know, she's the one that drives them and pushes them, so it's fun to see her get that award.
How galvanizing is it for a team to score the walk-off winning run and to see that excitement, everybody out of the dugout and everybody jumping up and down and going crazy? That's what college athletics is all about to me. What a fun moment for those young ladies.
Yeah, so cool. So cool off the bat of Amanda Sanchez. You know, it's just been such a difference maker for us all season. And just a gutsy, you know, she swung 3-0. We gave her the green light because she's just an absolute beast. And, you know, just looking for that moment. And I think she was ready for it, prepared for it. And, you know, she just is such a great player. It's so nice to see her have that.
Beth Tarina, the coach of the LSU softball team, certainly going to climb up the ranks, but there's no rest for the weary because now you got to go on the road to take on Georgia. That's another top 10 matchup.
Yeah, it is. We have Lamar at home tomorrow night, so we do that first, and then we get on the road to Georgia. And, you know, both teams we have this week are going to be really top quality, top notch programs. And, you know, like I said, our team's got to just kind of keep their head down, keep working, keep doing the things that got them to this point, and I think they're going to be in good shape.
So it looks like LSU is invading Athens, right? The men baseball team heads over to Athens. Softball team's heading there. Maybe y'all can get dinner together or something.
I think that's the first time in my 8 years here that that's happened. I don't think we've ever gotten to travel to the same place before. So I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be really fun. And, you know, I'm excited to support them. And I'm sure they'll be supporting us. Coach Maneri does such a great job of that. And you know, the guys and the girls are all friends and support each other the way all of the athletes do here at LSU. So it'll be a fun trip.
Talk about the growth of softball for. I mean, there's so much television exposure now that's so good. I mean, you're getting recognized well long overdue. But the television exposure has just grown this game exponentially, hasn't it?
It really has. It has just provided a lot of opportunities for us and, you know, making softball more of a revenue sport. So we're trying to hold our own here, you know. But these girls deserve it. They're so talented.
Yeah.
They work so hard. So they're really deserving of every bit of attention and publicity that they receive.
All right. So be honest with me now. You were mic'd up. Did you get nervous knowing that everything you said was, I mean, they're not going to air anything that's going to be detrimental in any way, shape, or form. Not that you would ever say anything that way, but does that make you nervous?
Oh, yeah. It's stressful, and it's stressful having that camera kind of follow your every move, everywhere you go. It's like you have eyes on you, you know? It is a little stressful, but I'm confident in what ESPN does and what the SEC Network does. They do a great job, and I trust them wholeheartedly to keep us in a good light and, you know, make our program look great, and I think they did a good job of that.
Has your phone been blowing up? Because, I mean, you've been a sensation on television. That play with no, down on the deck, and then the smile and the laugh, like, oh, what the heck? Let's just go win the thing. That was awesome.
Yes. I mean, before I could even get to my phone in the dugout after the game, I think I had 70 text messages. So, it's been fun. It's been fun. And like I said, I've just never been happier to be wrong. You know, I just was excited about it, and Aaliyah's just so special.
Yeah.
I'm glad for her to have that moment. So it's been a fun deal for everybody.
What did she say to you when you finally got to talk to her in the dugout or after the game, wherever it may have been? Did she just have her head down and was just going? What did she say?
Pretty much, sorry, coach. Sorry, coach, I never looked. I mean, she was going to score, I guess. You know, when I gave Amanda Sanchez the opportunity to swing on 3-0, she told Lindsay over at first base that she was scoring. So she had decided at first, no matter where the ball was hit, that she was going to score. And you know what? Give me another fearless, unstoppable player like that, and I'll take him every day of the week.
Amen. Amen. I agree wholeheartedly. Well, congratulations. That's a huge series win over Florida. Best of luck this week with Lamar, and then as you head to Athens. And, man, just keep it going, Coach. And thank you for your time. You are you're a superstar of television now, so, you know, just accept it. It is what it is.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. I don't know about all of that, but as long as you keep having me on, I'll be in good fit. So thank you so much.
You're the best. All right, Beth, you take care. Beth Tarina of the LSU Softball Tigers. They beat Florida in dramatic fashion with, hey, no. Okay, just keep on running. And she scored the winning run. So how about that? Great for them. Timeout. We'll come back with more. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is a state. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Helfrich Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
All right, it's travel day for teams getting ready to get their NCAA tournaments started on Thursday. Both LSU and Yale have made the trek, are making the trek to Jacksonville, Florida. And I came upon an article, and it was very well written. And I said, I got to get this guy on my show. Just so happens that he happens to be a freshman at Yale, and he is the men's basketball beat reporter for the Yale Daily News. And he is getting ready to catch a bird and head to Jacksonville. So we welcome William McCormick to the program. William, I greatly appreciate the time. Is it great being out of school today?
It is very exciting, yes. Thanks for having me on the show. Yale is actually on spring break right now. We have 2 weeks. We're in the second week of spring break. But I am so excited to get down to Jacksonville and get ready for the game on Thursday.
I must ask you, before we get down to the Yale basketball team, what was your GPA in high school?
My school actually didn't keep track of GPA, so I don't have an answer for you.
Well, what was your SAT score then?
I took the ACT. And took a few practice tests, but it was good enough, I guess, to get into Yale. So I'm very fortunate to be able to go to school there, and I love covering the men's basketball team for our paper.
All right. Well, let's get to the Yale basketball team. This is not your typical Ivy League school. I mean, they beat Harvard 97-85. You know, we're all used to Pete Carril at Princeton. They keep it in the 50s and 60s at best. This team likes to get up and down the floor for Coach Brown. Tell me about what you like about this ball club.
I like a lot about it. You're right. You're definitely right that Ivy League basketball has definitely changed a lot. Yale is a team that loves to get on the breaks, run in transition, and they're a very high-scoring team, too. Yale has scored over 90 points, I think, 8 times this season. That's a new school record. And when their shots are falling like they were against Harvard, they shot over 60% in that game. They really run the point total up. They average over 80 points a game. And they're a team that has a lot of offensive firepower.
James Jones has been down this road before. You're obviously a Yale fan. Do you remember a few years ago when the Bulldogs beat Baylor and then fought Duke down to the wire in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I definitely do. I was in high school then. I didn't know I was going to Yale. Was too young to even think about applying for college. But I remember I picked Yale in my bracket that year and was watching on my phone with my little brother, actually, as Mekhi Mason scored 31 points and Yale beat Baylor. That was a fun game. And I think Yale is ready to prove again this week that they're able to compete with nearly any team in the country, which is really exciting. And it's also cool that Mekhi Mason will be in the tournament again this year, albeit for Baylor.
You're right. William McCormick, freshman, beat writer for the Yale men's basketball team. I know that Oney is the star of the team, but it just seems to me when Alex Copeland plays well, Yale's a tough team to beat. Is that a fair assessment?
That is a very fair assessment. I think Mie Oney has gotten a lot of the press and hype, and he certainly deserves it. He is a legitimate NBA prospect. I've sat next to NBA scouts at so many different Ivy League gyms this season, and there were many, many at Ivy Madness this past weekend in New Haven, but he has such a strong supporting cast around him. Yale's entire starting lineup really is, they're all juniors and seniors. They're very veteran, very experienced, and Alex Copeland is a very big part of that. He's a senior from Los Angeles. He has great handles. He can mix and match almost any defender in the country, probably, and he showed that this weekend. He scored 25 points Sunday against Harvard. And when Mie, he was in foul trouble in the second half, picked up his fourth foul with more than 15 minutes to go. Yale was down at that point. But it was Alex Copeland and his classmates. Trey Fills is a senior for Yale. He starts. Blake Reynolds is the team's captain, also a senior and forward. And we saw Yale's veteran core kind of take over the game in the second half on Sunday against Harvard. And even outside of the starting five, two sophomores played really key roles off the bench. Azar Swain is a three-point specialist, and Paul Atkinson is a big man down low. And this is a really deep, balanced Yale team. The entire offense kind of really shows up every night. You look at a stat sheet, and it's not just Mie Oney who is mm-hmm. dropping big numbers on the stat sheet. It's everybody. And they kind of continue to show that. Eric Monroe is kind of the last player who gets in off the bench, and he's a great facilitator. Brings a lot of energy, sets up the offense really well. And Yale really does have a lot of weapons.
Well, some will give you the idea that when you think of LSU, you think of football first, then men's baseball, and then basketball. Where does men's basketball rank in the hierarchy of Yale sports from a fan support base?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I think, right now this week it is definitely number one. Everyone, at school in New Haven is really excited, including students and alumni. I think historically Yale football has been kind of the school's greatest sport. Everyone's excited about lacrosse recently. They won the national championship last year. I think they're the third team in the country yeah. based on the most recent Inside Lacrosse poll. So they're a really great team right now. I think Yale and other Ivy League schools are unique in that they have so many different teams. Yale has over 30 Division I mm-hmm. Varsity teams. But basketball right now is definitely what everyone's looking forward to.
I want to get in one of those rowboats, whatever you call those things. And I want to go down one of those really nice rivers where it's calm early in the morning like you see in the movies. I want to get in one of those regattas. You know what I mean? You ever done that?
Yeah, crew. I've never rowed, no. But Yale crew I know is impressive, yeah. too. I believe the heavyweight men might have won a national championship last year. So, I don't know. It's a cool place. A lot of kids are interested in so many different things. And athletes obviously devote so much time to their sports. And it's just really exciting that, the men's basketball team has had such a successful year and gets to play on this bright big stage against LSU this week.
When you think of LSU basketball, what do you think? What comes to mind?
I think immediately the player that comes to mind is Tremont Waters, who, as I'm sure has some interesting Yale connections. He's a New Haven native and was recruited heavily by James Jones and the rest of his staff. I know he played at a lot of kind of Yale's elite camps, over certain weeks in the summer. And he actually played on the same AAU team as Azar Swain, who I mentioned is that three-point specialist who plays a big role off the bench mm-hmm. for Yale. They were mm-hmm. on the same AAU team in sixth grade. And then Tremont actually played on Azar's high school teammates team for the rest of high school, Expressions Elite, in the EYBL circuit. Tremont Waters is a really exciting guard. I think of Nas Reed, too. And I think what's been in the news, too, with Will Wade obviously comes to mind. But LSU has shown all year that they're a really, really strong team. I think it'll be a battle on Thursday. I remember earlier this season, Yale played Memphis in its third game of the year. And the Bulldogs dropped that game in double overtime, 109 to 102. But just the week before that, Memphis battled with LSU in an early season matchup. And I think Memphis, lost that game by about 9 points maybe. But I think that's Yale maybe, I know correct. I did when I was kind of getting ready for the Memphis game, was looking at how they did against LSU, so it's kind of a cool parallel that's coming back to them now.
All right, so with that in mind, give me what your thoughts are on the game. What does Yale have to do to, as they say, survive and advance?
Right. I think it'll be a really good game. Yale, you know, I mentioned can compete with nearly any team in the country. I think people hear about, you know, an Ivy League school or other mid-major conferences, and they think that, you know, those schools won't have the athleticism or the ability to match up with a power conference team. But Yale has a lot of height inside. Jordan Bruner is 6'9", Paul Atkinson is 6'10". So I think, you know, the battle on the boards will be really big for the Bulldogs. Coach James Jones has three kind of pillars of his basketball philosophy, and those are defend, rebound, and share the ball. And Yale really places a priority on rebounding. I know LSU is one of the top offensive rebounding teams in the country, but Yale for much of the season was the number one team in the nation in terms of their defensive rebounds per game. You know, I think winning the battle on the boards will be really important for the Elies. And just kind of moving beyond that too, Yale has also played a lot of talented, you know, guards in the Ivy League. Bryce Aiken scored 38 on Sunday. But you know, excluding that performance for much of the season, Trey Phillips, who's Yale's best perimeter defender, and the rest of the team have been able to shut down, you know, opponents, you know, top guards. And I think that shutting down Tremont Waters will be really important on Thursday.
Trey Phillips, of course, 6 degrees of separation. His late father played at Southern University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So there are connections here, there, and everywhere. So back to you, my friend. What do you see as your future? What would you like to do? You're obviously in journalism. You love it. You're at a very, very, very prestigious school. So what's the ultimate goal for William McCormick? What would you like to do?
That's a great question. I think I'm still asking myself that. And I know I have some time. For now, I know that I love to cover Yale basketball. It's my, you know, favorite extracurricular for sure, my favorite part of Yale. So I'm going to keep doing that for now. I'm really focused on this week and kind of how exciting this could get for Yale. But, you know, we'll see what lies ahead in the future.
Awesome.
I'm not totally sure, but I'll get back to you.
I just want to go to your high school. If you didn't keep track of grades, I mean, that would have been my dream come true, huh?
Right. Well, we had grades. They just didn't have a kind of GPA metric. But, yeah, that would be a dream come true.
So if not Yale, where would you have gone to?
That's a great question. I think I really like Georgetown, and I'm really excited for their game this Wednesday against Harvard in the NIT. You know, I was excited to see Harvard draw Georgetown this Wednesday. There are so many great schools. UVA was cool, too. Okay. You know, definitely, I think going into college, I knew that I loved basketball and wanted a school that had a really, if not a really, you know, strong basketball tradition, then, you know, an up-and-coming team and opportunities for me to be around basketball, you know, write about it, stuff like that. I'm overjoyed that Yale has had the season that they've had, that I've had the opportunity to cover them, and that I'll be flying down to Jacksonville in just about an hour to go see them play later this week.
That's awesome. Well, good for you. How sweet was it that you got – I mean, how much do you hate Harvard? Come on. Be honest.
a little bit, but I have a lot of respect for them, too. Tommy Amaker over there has done such an exciting job with their program. And to be honest, you know, even though I go to Yale, I think I am rooting for Harvard on Wednesday. I think that, you know, it's time for the rest of the nation to kind of realize how strong Ivy League basketball is. And I think they have a great chance against a young, exciting Georgetown team.
Well, it should be a heck of a game. I don't think I know for a fact LSU's not overlooking Yale. I think Yale has caught everyone's attention. And I just want to thank you for coming on. You did an outstanding job. Much poise for a freshman. Safe trip to Jacksonville. Enjoy the ball game. And we wish you nothing but the best in your future. And I think the future is bright. So best of luck to you, and thank you, my friend.
Thanks so much for having me today. Really excited for the game. Have a nice day.
All right, buddy. You take care. William McCormick, just a freshman doing a great job as the beat writer for the Yale men's basketball team for the local little school paper there, the Yale Daily News. We'll be back with more here on the Jordy Helfrich Show.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the app.
And we are back, finishing touches of this Tuesday edition. Play-in games tonight, so the NCAA's tournament begins in Dayton. They get great crowds there. Those people in Dayton, Ohio, love some hoops, and they'll fill that arena for the doubleheader that's taking place tonight. We've got NIT games all across the country as well. So, like the men's basketball team did a few years ago when Johnny Jones was coaching and Ben Simmons and all were playing, and they refused to go play in a postseason tournament. LSU administrators and the LSU women's basketball team declined an invitation to the WNIT. So Nikki Fargus and company, their season has come to a screeching halt. The expenses for those type of trips far outweigh, in some people's minds, far outweigh the good of it. So that was their choice, their decision, and they decided to go that way. We are brought to you by DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Brobridge. Frankie, well, he's a huge sports fan, no question about that, and he's got everything in his store. We talk about all the food products, but there's so many gift items there, so many cute little things you can pick up for friends if you're going to someone's house, little gift, little curios here and there. And don't forget about that True Soul Food Deli tucked away in the corner. It's got the best cheeseburger you'll ever fathom, and then some. DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Brobridge. So Fairleigh Dickinson, 20-13, taking on Prairie View, 22-12. I got my money on Fairleigh Dickinson in that one. Temple at 23-9, Belmont at 26-5. Brand Duffy does a good job at Temple. There's no question about that. I'm going to go with Belmont in this one. I don't know why. A little school out of Nashville, really well coached, year in, year out. They do a terrific job. I'm going to go with Belmont. So Fairleigh Dickinson and Belmont will get the field down to its natural number. And the winner of Temple Belmont, of course, will take on Maryland. And the winner of that game will take on the winner of LSU and Yale. It's travel day. There's media responsibilities. And the most important thing is you got to get used to the gym. You got to get used to the sight lines. Every arena is different. And I'm telling you, it's so critical that you get shots up and lots and lots and lots of shots up so that you feel comfortable with where you are. It's not a big stadium arena, so that's good. It's just a regular basketball arena. It's not like the Superdome or the Carrier Dome or any of those, like where the Final Four will be in Minneapolis. But still, you got to get used to the environment. All right, history lesson time. We go back to March 19th, the year 1966. They made a movie out of it. Texas Western changed college hoops forever as Clem Haskins and his starting five, for the first time ever, all African-American ball club, took on Adolph Rupp and the Kentucky Wildcats with Pat Riley on the club, amongst others. Kentucky was the prohibitive favorite, and Texas Western's improbable 1966 national title run ended with not only a game, but a defining moment in history. On this day, March 19th, the year 1966. Yes, indeed. I think Matthew McConaughey plays in that movie now. And it was a good one, just in case you hadn't seen it. It was a very good movie. All right, birthday wishes. If today, March 19th, is your birthday, we hope you have a great one and share it with all your family and friends and have lots of cake and lots of ice cream. Happy 63rd birthday to one Bruce Willis. He's a good actor. I like him. Happy 30th birthday. He's not going to be on the starting mound for starting day for the first time in many a year. But happy birthday, Los Angeles Dodger pitcher Clayton Kershaw, celebrating a birthday today. Anybody else? Happy 71st birthday. Really? 71? Glenn Close? She looks terrific. Terrific. Yes, indeed. Okay. And there you go. So hope you have a great day. If it's your anniversary, happy anniversary. Keep adding year after year after year to it, right? Yes, indeed. Special thanks to our guest today, Dave Walushin, with his thoughts on Yale. Because as the play-by-play voice for the Memphis Tigers, back-to-back games, played LSU and Yale, albeit early, LSU a much better team now than they were then, but no head coach. So we'll see where it all comes to. Beth Tarina with a walk-off game-winning double with the runner scoring from first, much to her chagrin as she kept telling us, no, no, stop, 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 ran right through the stop sign and scored the game-winning run. And then William McCormick, very impressed with the young freshman from Yale who is the beat writer for the Yale Bulldogs with the school newspaper. Thought he was very, very impressive. Yes, indeed. All right, tomorrow, John Brady will join us live from Jacksonville. Josh Heff will join us from Jacksonville. He is the television voice of the Yale Bulldogs. And I'm bringing back some of my buddies. We're going to talk hoops. We're going to talk lots of hoops. Rudy Macklin, Howard Carter, Ethan Martin, and on and on and on. It's going to be a hoop day. I'm just telling you, because LSU plays before we go on the air on Thursday, and all we're going to do is talk about hoping how they survive and advanced. Clint, job well done. Thanks to all of you for listening, for our partners that make it possible. Until tomorrow, I'm Jordy Helpig. Have a great day, and stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.